So, good morning, and Lord, we just thank you for this time, and we thank you for your word this morning. So the message that I have this morning is called Personalized Faith. Now, some people think or have this idea that if you live by faith, you can float through life without any problems. Well, we know on this side of heaven that's not going to happen, right? We know that. So let's look at Jesus. If anyone should have been able to float through or walk through life without any problems, it should have been Jesus because he had perfect faith. His faith was perfect. But Jesus had the toughest time while here on this earth of any man that we know. Jesus was plotted against. He was tempted of every sin known to mankind. He was mocked. He was spit on. He was scourged, he was flogged, he was persecuted, and yet, he did not walk away from faith. There's nothing that is tougher than having temptation, sin, sickness, grief, lack, yet you refuse to let that dominate your life. Because when you let faith in, faith dominates those things. So let's look at Matthew 26, and you don't have to go there, but Matthew 26, 36 to 46, it talks about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The pressure that Jesus faced there put so much strain on his stand for faith. I'm going to read that again. Just how much pressure did Jesus have when he stood for his faith? It was so much that his physical body had drops of blood seeping through his skin like perspiration. That's how much stress, how much pressure was put upon him at the Garden of Gethsemane. And he even went to the apostles or the disciples and he said, "Why could you not tarry with me just 1 hour?" But they didn't. They were sleeping. He went to them three different times, and every time they were sleeping. But Jesus, alone in that garden, got down on his knees before the Father, and he even said, "If there be any other way, Father, but not my will, but yours." But yet his physical body, you know, his spirit's saying, keep going, there's not that much longer, keep going. His spirit's telling him. His faith is telling him, "I'll be there. I'm there for you. I'm there for you." But his flesh, just the pressure of that caused blood to literally seep through his skin like perspiration. So none of us will ever go through that type of pressure, that type of problem. But I want to start from where Jesus started. You know, Jesus, as a child, was at his mother's knee every single day. And what she was doing was she was teaching him from the scrolls, from the prophets. And then as he became a youth and an adolescent, he was being taught at the synagogue. And then as he was learning his father's trade as a carpenter. But then in the mornings, early in the morning, you might have found him at the mountainside or in a row of trees, having that starting his day with the Lord, with his Father. And then in the evening, in the early twilights of the evening, you might find him there as well, ending his day fellowshipping with the Lord. So because he was brought up this way, it says in Luke chapter 2, it says, the Bible demonstrates that Christ had an intimate knowledge of Scripture as early as his first visit to the temple. Remember when they were leaving and Mary and Joseph realized that Jesus wasn't with them and they ended up going back and they were looking for him? He was, you know, they were gone for by the third day, they were like, "Where's Jesus?" So they go back and they find him. Where do they find him? They found him in the temple. And his mother said to him, "Why did you do this to us?" And Jesus said, "Don't you know, I'm about my Father's business." So Jesus, this was his life. So it says here that at the age of 12 years old, let me read it. It says here, his first visit to the temple, when he astonished the teachers of the temple school in Jerusalem with his insightful answers. So in other words, they were so in awe of the knowledge that Jesus had that they were asking him questions. And he was answering them. He was, he was sharing what was put in him. So he had faith. But he had that faith because what did he do? He was at his mother's knee. He was in the synagogue. He was in the temple. He was being taught the word. He was hearing the word. So as Jesus gained knowledge of the scriptures by hearing, by reading the scrolls, he believed and he obeyed. It teaches us that faith comes by hearing the word, by believing the word and obeying the word. So Jesus is not going to ask us to do something that he didn't do himself. And what he was doing was, by doing what he was doing, he was showing us how it was done, how to do it, how to gain that faith. But not only get that faith, he showed us how to help our faith grow and grow and grow. So he was walking through that and giving us his example. So in Romans 10:17, it says, so when faith comes, it comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, not by what you heard. And I'm going to be very honest with you today. Do you know that when I first became a Christian, I thought once you heard it, that's it? You didn't have to reread it and reread it? I'm going to be honest with you. I thought, okay, I've read it. Okay, let's move on, George. Let's get this going. Let's get the ball rolling. Let's get this ministry going. And I didn't read it a lot. Oh, yeah, I did a lot of singing. But as far as studying the word, I didn't. But then it finally, through teachings and through hearing the word from another person that grew up, grew in the word and grew more and more and more in the word, that I thought, I want to be like them. I want to minister like they do. I want, and I've seen, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but I've seen where, for example, a family lost a loved one that was unexpected. And I mean, it just, to me, it would have just shattered that whole family. But do you know what it did? The wife, she ends up stepping out and going into missions, and they had five children, and the five of them went into missions. They weren't shattered by that, even though it was a sudden, unexpected death. They just went about the Father's business and did what the Father called them to do. And the reason for that is because they both were raised in a family where there was faith. They saw what faith does, what faith can do. So they brought that into their marriage, and they brought that into their family. And they, you can talk it, and that's the song I'm going to share. You can talk faith all you want. But when the time comes and you're down in those valleys, that's when you need that faith. That's when you find out where your faith is at. If you're still, getting the milk of the word, or if you're getting the meat of the word, that's where the faith comes in. So, and I know I've talked about faith a lot since I've been here, but to me, Jesus is our foundation. And from there, it's the faith. It's faith. It's faith that's going to cause us to continue to grow in the word. And you know what? We all need that. We all need that. So it's not by what we've heard that counts. It's by what we're hearing and hearing and hearing that allows our faith to grow. Our bodies, they need daily food, right? So does our spirit. Our spirit needs the Word of God on a daily basis. But faith only grows continually when we listen and read the Word of God. So then our faith has a beginning, and it's going to progress, it's going to grow, and then it's going to strengthen. It's going to strengthen by when we hear the word of God. In Matthew 19:14, it says, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs in the kingdom of heaven. And I did some commentary on that, and I read it, and I've read it, and we've all heard this scripture many a times. But what that scripture to me is saying is that we all have to come as little children to the Lord. And to give you an idea of where I'm coming from here, is I read a story. It's from a woman's daily devotional. And it's a little short story, and it's called He'll Catch You. And it's about a little boy. He's probably about 10 years old, 12 years old. And like all other little boys, he's got to tell his buddies, you know, my dad's the strongest. No, my dad's the strongest. No, my dad's the strongest. Well, one day, the little boy was up in the tree, in a cherry tree, climbing a cherry tree. And he's up there pretty high. And he is so in awe by how far he can see. Wow, I never thought I could see this far from up here. And, wow, I'm really high off the ground. And he was so captivated by what was in front of him that he wasn't paying attention that there was a storm coming from behind. Well, by the time he realized that the wind is starting to pick up and he's starting to panic now. And he starts yelling for his father to come and get him. And his father comes running and he comes under the tree and he goes, son, I'm right here, catch me, or I'll catch you, just jump. And the little boy's like, wait a minute, he looks so small from up here. There is no way I'm going to trust, I know he's the strongest man in the world, but, you know, I don't think so. And his father's like, son, you have to jump. And the wind is a whistling. In fact, it's blowing so hard that the branch that he's hanging on to cracks from the trunk. And now the little boy has no choice. But he lets go of the branch and down he goes and his father catches him. And the little boy clings to his neck. And he's so happy that he's okay. And yet, now, before that happens, the thing is, to that little boy, his dad being the strongest man in the world was a theory. He never practiced that. He never had to experience that. He just knew it in here. But that day, it became not only a theory, but it came reality. Up to that point, the belief that his dad was the strongest was just a theory. But after that experience, it was reality to him, and the boy gained a personal relationship or a faith relationship with that experience. That's what our Heavenly Father wants from us. That's what he's asking of us. He wants a personal faith experience with us daily. We possess the same kind of faith that Jesus had. And look at the miracles. Look at the things that Jesus did. Now, there's no different kinds of faith. And see, as a young Christian, I believed there was. I believed there was different kinds of faith for different people. And that's not the case. Faith is the same. It starts out the same. And I almost brought, if I'd had some in my cabinet, I would have, a mustard seed. And I would have put them in a little Ziploc bag and I would have handed one to each one of you. Did you know that the mustard seed is the smallest of seeds? And yet, if you go home, I give you some homework this morning, go home, if you got encyclopedias or YouTube or whatever, just type in full length or full growth of a mustard seed. And you'll see that it's about the size of a cherry or an apple tree. Even some are bigger, even that. So what I'm saying is, our faith is the size of a mustard seed when it starts out. But as we continually put that word in us, and we continually hear the word, the more that seed is going to keep growing, that faith seed is going to keep growing, and the more we want to step out and use and apply that faith in our walk. But not only with us, but with our families. Every day we pray for our families, don't we? We pray for their God's hedge of protection around about them, that he keep them safe. And I'm sure I'm not the only one here. I pray that God sends laborers across my family's path that they will listen to them, because they're pretty much shut the door on listening to me, to a certain degree. But God will send somebody that they will listen to and will get their attention. So that's faith. That's faith speaking. And what I do is I just say, thank you, Lord. I know you got it taken care of. Satan wants to come in and lie to me and say, they're going to hell. They are going to hell. But they're not, because I brought my children up in the ways of the Lord, and when they grow older, they're not going to depart from it. That's God's word. That's his word. God says, my word doesn't come back to me void. So therefore, I'm going to hold him to his word, and he's going to come through. I know he will. So, got sidetracked, but that's okay. So, that's what our Heavenly Father wants. There is no different kinds of faith depending on who you are or the role you have in the body of Christ. In other words, pastors, deacons, teachers, regularly attending church services, everyone still has the same faith. There's no different kinds of faith. Now I want to share a story, two different small short stories. How many of you have a child or a grandchild or a niece or a nephew that you've been playing with, and then all of a sudden, and they're maybe standing up here and you're there, and they just leap out and say, "Catch me." And you don't know it until they're like halfway there. And you do everything you can, but, you know, wrench your back out because you're trying to turn around and catch them. But the thing is they know mom and dad, grandma or grandpa or aunt or uncle or whatever, they know you. They know you are going to catch them if at all possible. They know you are. That's what God's saying. Come to know me, and I will catch you. I have a granddaughter. My son and my daughter, they live in Florida. And my son is going to get his doctorate in archaeology. He goes to Belize two or three times a year and does digs for the Maya tribe or near the Maya tribe. But they moved down to Florida because he's doing his doctorate down there. Well, they rent this house. It has an in-ground pool in it. I was fine with that. That's great. Hot. It's perfect. Now there's a baby coming. And I was okay with it then even. But when she started crawling, I'm going, guys, what are we going to do about the pool? Because when kids get it in their mind, they're going to get in that pool. There's no change in it. I mean, it's like their mind is programmed, you know. It's like they have tunnel vision. And so it kind of concerned me. So what they did was they did end up building a fence between the house and the pool. Well, and that was good. Well, now she's walking. And it still bothered me, but I just trust in the Lord. Well, what they did was they ended up taking her, now she's only a year and a half, mind you, to swimming lessons. Now, what they did was they sent me a video, and just so you can picture this, I'm the instructor. The instructor has her hands out. She's got her in the pool, and she is tugging her, and she's kicking her little feet back there, you know, and the instructor's going very slowly. And then all of a sudden, this is my little Ava going like this, so the instructor's pulling her that way, and she's looking to make sure mom's doing a video, of course. And she's looked at mom, and then she does this. She concentrates on the instructor, and down goes her head into the water. And she's gone. I'm going, okay, bring your head up, bring your head up, bring your head up. And very calmly, she brings her head back up, and she's just kicking away. The second video is the same, but the second one, what she does is the instructor turns her so her back or her face is up. So she turns her over. So she's teaching her that when she's in the water, once she's up, and she's like this, to turn herself over. The reason I share this story is because, first off, Ava, the 1.5-year-old, not to be two till May, she had to gain trust in that instructor so that she could be teachable. And you say, well, but I trust the Lord. But see, there are some people that aren't where you're at. There are some people that have went to hell and back and have no more trust of the Lord and don't want any part of the Lord because they've been so devastated or hurt. But the Father, if we as people who can show God, does, you know, that we can trust God, if we show them our walk with the Lord, we give them an opportunity to see what it's like to have that peace, to have that freedom, have hope, because faith is the substance of the things that we hope for. And if they see that in us, I remember when my husband and I, I thought I was a churchgoer and I thought I was a Christian, and then when I realized I wasn't, I couldn't get to the church fast enough. And then was a couple of weeks later, my husband had seen a difference in me in two or three weeks, and he come up to me and he sat down on the counter in the kitchen and he goes, "I don't know what you got, but I want it." And that next Sunday he came with me And that's where we've been since. But he saw it in me. He saw that hope. He saw that peace. He wanted it. But again, let's go back to Ava. What she did, it says here, Ava had to gain trust of the instructor so that she could be teachable. In order to be taught, she had to listen and obey. So it is kind of like a step. First, we have to learn to trust him. And once we gain that trust, then we're what? Teachable. Once we're teachable, then he can show us by us obeying and by us listening to what he's got to say. So, like it says here, so like little children, we get to know the Father. We begin to trust the Father. And we begin to listen and are teachable and learn and obey. The measure of faith that's given is the same for every believer. In the past, like I said, I've thought, I could never have that kind of faith. I could never have that kind of faith. I remember a family who went through a very tragic situation, and they lost not only the children, but they lost the grandchildren in an accident. And only one grandchild survived. It was devastating. I mean, it was like, how do you get through that? But you know what? Their faith was strong. They just trusted in the Lord. And it's marvelous to see. Different believers may develop and strengthen their faith over time by reading, hearing, and leaping out or experiencing and practicing their faith. But their faith is no different than yours or mine. Missionaries. How many of us know a missionary that only had a ticket one way to where they were going? And maybe a suitcase and that was it, with no plans to come back. That's faith. I know a gentleman and his family who packed up 25 years ago with his family, moved to Belize with his family, and was in one of the worst drug-infested areas that you could possibly be in Belize. And many a time, and the lifestyle down there was really tough. There was some weeks you didn't have electricity for days on end. But they learned to trust God in it. And they were there in that ministry, in that mission, for over 20 years. So we have that same capacity to build our faith. You might be thinking, well, how can we have personalized faith, Bonnie, when our faith is the same as what Jesus had? Let's look at Judges in chapter 2. It says, the Israelites who first entered the promised land with Joshua saw the mighty acts of God and believed. Okay? But then two verses later, it goes on and says, the very next generation did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. So it was not long before they turned aside to worship other gods. They didn't make their parents' faith their own. There's many well-known pastors today and evangelists today that their children went astray. And I'm sure you can think of one right now, right off the top of your head. But they learned, just as the prodigal son, their faith had to be their own faith. Wouldn't it look overwhelming if you thought you had to fill your father's or your mother's shoes that were out there ministering throughout the whole world? I mean, sometimes that's how Satan likes you to think. You'll never be able to, you know, match up to them. You know, as you grow up, that's some of the things that Satan likes to, you know, put up against you to stop you from doing what God's called you to do. And I'm sure that to some of these, what do they call them, pastor's kids, or PKs they call them, pastor's kids. Sometimes I'm sure that seems overwhelming. But it says they learned just as the prodigal son, their faith had to be their own, not the parents' faith. When they received that measure of faith, it was their own faith, not a secondhand faith. It was their own faith. It was real. Because you know why? They had to experience that themselves. They had to want it themselves. And it became where that faith, where they knew that I've got the capacity to receive more of this. I want more of this. So again, it goes to where the faith begins, where it grows, progresses, and it strengthens. So no generation can live off the previous faith of the other of the previous generation. Every generation needs firsthand faith. But it's wonderful if you have the legacy of having second, third, and fourth generation of Christians. That's wonderful. That's a great legacy to have. But however, there is no secondhand faith. God has given to all a measure of faith. We personalize that faith as we hear the word and we apply the word. We must spend time in it, in the word. And you say, well, okay, we're talking faith. Well, go to Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter 12, and it talks about faith. And it says in Hebrews, Paul tells his readers that faith is made of things that we hope for rather than the things that we can see. So when we're in situations and circumstances in our lives where we want to see something different, we want to see a change, that's when our faith, that's when we use our faith, and that's when we stand on, Lord, I know that right now my children aren't walking with you as much as maybe I think they should, but Lord, I see it this way. You said that you were going to take care of it. You said you were going to draw them closer to you. I'm just trusting you in it. So you begin to see them in that. You begin to trust the Lord in it. That it was faith that helped our ancestors survive, and it was by faith that we know that God spoke the word into being and created the things that we see all around us. Wow. Faith? Faith is the thing that made this? And he's given a portion of that to us, and all we have to do is use the word and apply the word, and that faith just keeps growing and growing and growing? Sounds too simple. Sounds too simple to be true, but it is true. Because God is love. He is love, and that's what love does. It shows us a way that we can draw closer to him in that love. Now, it's the only way to achieve the strength of faith that we desire. By listening to others that have been there, done that, doesn't it encourage you when you've heard somebody that's went through a miracle? Isn't it awesome? Doesn't that kind of get you fired up when you hear a miracle? Remember that show, It's a Miracle? And these are all documented stories, of true stories of people who have went through a miracle, and they've prayed, and they've had their church pray in the situation that they're in. Where two or more are gathered together and agree, it shall be done of my heavenly Father who is in heaven. That's what we're here for when we pray and we start our services. We pray together in unity and one accord. That's what faith does. So, in our new creation in Christ Jesus, then we are given that measure of faith. We have mountain-moving faith. It just simply needs to be exercised and experienced. And when we think of experience, we go, oh, that means then we got to kind of go through some valleys. I don't know whether I really want to do that. But you know what? It's when you get tested that you can give a testimony. So I want to share this song with you today. It's about faith. And if you have an issue with the music or something, please let me know afterwards. We'll try to fix it. Okay? Life is easy when you're up on that mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in that valley. Don't lose faith, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in your valleys. when things go wrong, He'll make them right. He's the God of the good times. He's still God in the bad times. He's the God of the day. He's still God in your nights. Well, we talk of faith when we're up on that mountain, and talk comes so easy when life's at its best. But it's down in those valleys of trials and temptation, that's when your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, oh, He'll make them right. He's the God of the good times. He's still God in the bad times. He's the God of the day. He's still God in your nights. He's still God in your days. He's still God in your nights. I believe that song in itself could have said the whole message today. What do you think? Amen.